Hello, this is Mark Peacock, and welcome to the Travel Commons Podcast. This is Travel Commons Podcast number 82, recorded Saturday, February 20th, 2010. This is the podcast giving the voice of the traveler. It's more about the journey than the destination. Two topics on this edition of the Travel Commons Podcast: changing the way I travel, and new year, new programs. Hey, well, this week, coming to you today from the Travel Commons studio outside of Chicago, Illinois, I am sorry for the long delay between episodes, but I started a new job at the beginning of the year. After 17 years of consulting, I got a real job as a CIO, and I got to tell you, I am just now beginning to dry off after drinking through a fire hose for the past 6 weeks. I'm also in my sixth straight month of travel. I've gotten on a plane every week since Labor Day, but next week I'm going to take a break. I think I'm going to skip O'Hare for a week after 6 months. Seems like a reasonable thing to do. Now, I will say, when you do that sort of calculus, 1 week of that was self-inflicted. I mentioned in the last episode that I cashed in some frequent flyer and frequent sleeper points to take the family to Hawaii for a week. Turned out to be a great decision. It was 75 degrees in Kauai and 7 degrees in Chicago. I will say, though, that getting off the plane Sunday at sort of 4 a.m. in Chicago, when I left Honolulu at sort of 80 degrees and got into Chicago and it was 4 degrees, I don't think that there are a lot of bodies made to deal with that temperature differential. But it was good nonetheless. That small amount of pain was definitely worth the week. Well, since the beginning of the year, I've been back in full travel mode: Philadelphia, D.C., and multiple visits to Phoenix, Dallas, and South Florida. In January, I almost got trapped in Phoenix due to the huge rainstorms that swept in from California. I was sitting in a Scottsdale Starbucks when an automated voice from United rang me up to tell me that my 3:30 p.m. flight to O'Hare was canceled. I called up the Global Services desk and got rebooked onto the earlier flight, 1:20 p.m., and actually managed to keep my first class upgrade. So a bit of an annoyance. I had to shuffle my afternoon calendar, but it was manageable. So I get to the airport and ask the gate agent why the cancellation. The 1:20 was now the last flight out. They were forecasting 40-mile-an-hour sustained winds and 70-mile-an-hour gusts to hit town at 2 p.m. The agents tell us we need to board quickly so that we can get out before the weather hits. But then, nothing. We sit and we sit. No boarding, no announcements. Oh man, is this not going to be great? And a January flight from Phoenix to O'Hare is canceled for weather in Phoenix. Go figure that. Well, finally we board. But then, at the last minute, another delay. The caterer didn't load enough lunches for everyone in first class. I look out, the sky's getting darker. A half dozen of us volunteer to skip the rubber chicken, just get this flight off the ground. Finally, the door closes, and as near as I can tell, we were the last flight off the ground before they closed the airport. I'll tell you, downgrading to the Thai chicken wrap from the back of the plane was a small price to pay for making it home that night. So, following up, we've had a bit of a thread over the past few episodes on methods to track travel expenses and manage the receipts. Arnold Heines started it with an email wondering if there's anything better than a set of envelopes or colored folders, and up till now, no one has come up with anything better. However, I just started using an online travel and expense tool called Concourse Solutions, which has moved me away from folders. Now, I don't think it's a single-person solution. I think your whole company has to be on it. But if you're on it, it seems pretty good. I mean, first, you use it to book your travel, airline, hotel, and car, which allows the system to create an expense report from your itinerary, automatically putting your airline ticket and placeholders for your hotel and rental car. They also, can then pull e-receipts from most of the hotel chains, which is a huge time saver if you're one of those sort of obsessive compulsive companies that wants you to separately itemize room charges and taxes across each night of the stay. Concord does that automatically when it sucks in the hotel receipt. It also pulls in electronic Amex receipts, which you can drag and drop into the expense report. And then they also have an iPhone app, which allows you to immediately record an expenditure and upload it, complete with a picture of the receipt from your iPhone camera if you want, so that you can then drag and drop that into your expense report. I mean, I don't know what it costs their company, but it's a pretty sweet system. I was thinking about this when I saw a review for another one of those, travel scanners on the Gadling website. There were all sorts of comments about how great it is to immediately be able to scan your receipts so you don't lose them. But, I don't know. Given that most of us are carrying around multi-megapixel cameras in our pockets, embedded in our cell phones, I just don't get the rationale for schlepping around another $100 piece of hardware. I mean, if the multicolor folder system doesn't do it for you, and it didn't seem to for many of the Gadling commentators who, sort of were extolling the praises of scanning receipts, well, then take a picture of it. I mean, heck, shoot it on a white sheet of paper if the aesthetics of, say, a wood bar bother you, but, and then sync it back to your PC or do it across the network with sort of any number of iPhone or BlackBerry apps. I mean, personally, I'm amazed that people are still buying those travel scanners. Mika Perkala, and I always get Mika's name butchered because it's Finnish, I think, and there's, way too many Y's in it for me to deal with. Sorry, Mika. He sent me a note singing the praises of Southwest. First, he loves how easy it is to gift someone with a Southwest award. Mika says, I just had the best experience. I booked the flight I thought my friend wanted from Phoenix to Dulles and then sent him the PNR, the passenger record locator. He could then log in himself under Travel Tools on the Southwest website and either view or change the itinerary to times that were more convenient. I mean, imagine what that process would be on, say, United or US Air or Continental or Delta. Mika also likes Southwest's exchange policy. While the media harps on bag fees, change and cancel fees are exponentially more money and more important to me. I probably check a bag maybe 3 times a year, but often need to change my tickets. The media does not give Southwest credit for their consumer-friendly change cancellation rules or point out how unfriendly the legacy carrier's rules are in regards to that. I travel at least twice a month from Boston to Washington. I've taken 20 flights since Southwest launched the service and had only one incident where a gate agent was rude to me. I sent in a complaint and they gave me a voucher for the entire value of the ticket, and they didn't just send a form letter. It sounds like they actually investigated the issue I raised. I'm knocking on wood that writing this does not now bring me bad luck. Well, Mika, I've got to agree with you on Southwest's treatment. Having suffered through dealings with the crankiest set of American Airlines gate agents and flight attendants that I have in a while on my flight back from Phoenix last week, I mean, it makes me appreciate sort of the spirit and the pleasantness of just about every Southwest employee I've encountered. My mother's a big fan of theirs, too, and I always touch base with my mother when I want to get outside of the travel bubble. My mother used to travel for business when she was with Disney, but now, I mean, she's been retired for a number of years, so, she's a pretty savvy traveler, but she no longer has status, so she's sort of a good checkpoint for me. Living in Denver, she was a loyal Frontier flyer until I gave her a Southwest award of mine that was about to expire. She came off that trip absolutely singing their praises and immediately switched her loyalties to Southwest. I mean, I'll tell you, for Southwest, not a bad return on a free trip. Hey, if you have a story, a question, a comment, a travel tip, the voice of the traveler, send them along. The email address, comments, COMMENTS at travelcommons.com. You can also send me a Twitter message at mpeacock or post them on the website at travelcommons.com. So the first topic on today's Travel Commons podcast is changing the way I travel. So moving from consulting to a corporate job is a significant change in, oh, so many ways. I'm not even going to try and list them all here, but the way I travel is one of the biggest changes. My new company has offices in Phoenix, Arizona, Dallas, and Naples, Florida, but because of personal reasons, my son is finishing up high school and try to sell a house in this market. We agreed that I would not move from Chicago right away. As the CEO said to me, Mark, you travel all the time as it is. Why change things? Your wife probably wouldn't be happy to have you home all the time. So while I keep traveling, the way I travel is very different. Now, as a partner in a consulting firm, I managed multiple project teams and sold new business. This meant, you know, I usually traveled to multiple places in a week. You know, at the front of each episode in the past, you know, it's going to be 4.5, almost 5 years, and it'll be 5 years in May, I've given a quick rundown of the places I've been since the last episode, and, you know, sometimes highlighting an especially wacky itinerary, like the time I flew from Chicago to London for a day meeting, right, left Chicago, flew to Heathrow overnight, took a lunch meeting, then hopped the afternoon flight back to Chicago, then made a connection, continued on to Denver, where I drove through a blizzard to facilitate a two-day workshop. And there have been more than a handful of weeks where I've spent the front half of the week on the East Coast and the back half of the week on the West Coast, and vice versa, and sometimes gone East Coast to West Coast, East Coast. But now, I'm traveling to one place, one of our offices, for 3 to 4 days at a time. Now, you think this would be less stressful, and I guess, you know, it is in some ways. Not as much packing and unpacking my bag, not as many TSA lines to grit my teeth through, you know, not as many flight delays. But, you know, the act of travel, going to and from airports, flying, navigating to new places, well, it fills time. And without that, returning to the same hotel every night, there's empty time to fill. Now, work fills some of it, and you can only just watch so much TV. Indeed, you know, the travel becomes more like a commute, but without your family at the back end. I mean, the one saving grace of travel, experiencing new places, seeing new things, it goes away. But talking to others about this, I appear to be one of the few people who likes to change things up on business travel. At a dinner this past week, one guy talked about a recent stint of commuting between Dallas and Hong Kong 3 weeks out of four. He said, you know, every trip I flew the same flight, sat in the same seat, stayed at the same hotel, and tried to get the same room. I mean, I was just sitting back going, wow, I mean, you know, on this podcast, we've talked about travelers who are getting ruts, but man, this guy has dug his rut deep, and it sounds like he's furnished it well. But, you know, he had his reason. He said, you know, after a while, the flight attendants, the hotel clerks, they all got to know me. They'd greet me by name. Hi, Mr. Jenkins, and invite me to board early, upgrade my room, give me a free drink. It was nice. So, you know, in other words, this guy, you know, he'd assembled a bit of a replacement family, some, you know, familiar places to greet him at the end of his commute, kind of the Cheers syndrome, right? You know, you want to be where everybody knows your name. It's a common desire. I mean, one of my colleagues stayed for over a year straight at the Trumbull, Connecticut Marriott, working at a call center project in a nearby corporation. I mean, she got the full Cheers treatment. Greetings, upgrades, leaving laundry over the weekend, Christmas cards from the front desk staff. She was still getting those cards 2 years later. Come back, we miss you. You know, heartfelt or kind of stalker creepy? I don't know, you judge. Well, maybe I'm a bit of a misanthrope, but I'm happy with the family I've got. I use Skype video chat when the phone's not cutting it. And well, I guess if I'm not getting to see new places, I'll just dig a little deeper into these places that I'll see again and again. I mean, in Phoenix, it's been local sports. So I saw my first Fiesta Bowl. I caught a local hockey game, which was interesting because there were more fans for the visiting Buffalo Sabres than there were for the hometown Phoenix Coyotes. I mean, baseball training opens next week, so maybe I'll get to catch a Cubs or White Sox game. And in Florida, I make it a point to drive to the beach at least one evening a week during my stay. Yeah, I'll take my shoes off, walk through the sand a bit. I haven't gotten in the water yet, but I will soon. And so while the litany of destinations at the beginning of the show will get a bit more repetitive, I guess I'll have to work a bit harder to keep my travel from getting dull. But if a hotel clerk greets me by name before he looks up my reservation, that's when I'll know it's time to move on down the road. The second topic on today's Travel Comments podcast is New Year, New Programs. Now, at the start of each new year, I take a look at my airline mileage and hotel frequent sleeper programs, and because all the elite counters for miles and nights have reset to zero, I decide where I'm going to invest my time. You know, and for frequent travelers, it is an investment. The elite status is just as important, if not more so, than the actual points or miles. You know, most of the times I let things ride. I enjoy the status I have while, you know, building for the next year. Probably the last big change I made was when I shifted from American to United after I hit 2 million miles on American. I mean, up to that point, I'd always split my miles between American and United, maintaining mid-tier status on each, Platinum on American, Premier Exec on United, because in Chicago, you know, coming out of O'Hare is a rare dual hub, so if I can't get a place nonstop on American, I can get a place nonstop on United and vice versa. But you know, once I hit 2 million miles on American, well, that means lifetime platinum status, and so since there was nothing to lose on American, I doubled down on United, made 1K my first couple of years, and then Global Services last year. But now, with my new job, comes new destinations. I'm no longer regularly traveling to LaGuardia or Washington National or San Francisco. Instead, I'm heading to Dallas and Fort Myers and Phoenix. Now, here to DFW is American's trunk line. I mean, they practically have flights every hour between their two big hubs. I mean, no surprise there. But looking at Fort Myers, the only nonstops from Chicago are American from O'Hare and Southwest from Midway. I mean, I was surprised that there weren't any United nonstops. So. And, you know, even American's O'Hare to Phoenix schedule is better than United's. I didn't notice it when I was flying the big city routes, but it looks like United got more aggressive than American about taking out flight capacity in some of the secondary markets. So since the new year, I've swung my mileage over to American, bought a membership to the Admirals Club, and I'm working on Executive Platinum. Now, mind you, United made the decision a bit easier when they didn't renew my Global Services status, you know, even after I'd flown over 180,000 actual miles, or as the pros call it, BIS miles, but in seat miles. But, you know, I'll tell you, direct flights trump brand loyalty every single time. Now, the new job is even affecting my hotel choices. I mean, the hotels most convenient to my offices, the closest and the ones where we've got the best rates, are in the Hilton chain, so Hilton Suites and DoubleTrees. And so by the end of January, I had already hit Hilton Honors Silver, and I'm on, you know, well on my way toward gold. I've been Marriott Platinum for, I don't know, 7 or 8 years, but, it looks like that too will be changing. Now, I don't think United or Marriott will immediately strip me of my status. Usually, they'll sort of soft land you. They'll step you down to the next lower level and then send you a nice "we miss you" note. But right now, it looks like the only thing I'm keeping constant this year is O'Hare. Okay, that's it. That's the end of Travel Commons podcast number 82. I hope you all enjoy the podcast, and I hope you decide to stay subscribed. Better yet, I hope you decide to tell somebody else to subscribe. The bridge music. I don't know. It was kind of spacey this episode, but I don't know. That's what I felt like. Anyhow, it's from Magnatunes, the We Are Not Evil label. Bahar Un by Un Kai. There you go. Check out the show notes for the spelling on that one. Opium Head by Solace and Spaces by General Hum. You'll find these and more at magnatunes.com. And as always, I've got links to each of the artist pages in the show notes. Hey, if you have a story, thought, comment, gripe, the voice of the traveler, send them along, text or MP3 file to comments, COMMENTS at travelcommons.com, or to MPcock on Twitter, or post them on our website at travelcommons.com. Thanks to everyone who has taken the time to send in emails, tweets, and post comments on the website. Hey, sorry that I took the extended absence on this one. It took me 2 months to get this episode out. I apologize for that. Hopefully it won't take so long the next time. But until we speak again, take care. Thanks for stopping by the Travel Commons. Bye now.
Life is hell, strange bed in a lonely motel. But one thing can ease my mind, the warm woman that I left behind. From California to Carolina, she calls me up and there's nothing finer. And when the tears start falling, crying into the phone, within my heart you'll find my pictures of you at home. No matter where life takes me, how many miles I roam, I close my eyes and I see pictures of you.